I did not come to the teachings of Sanatan Dharma until I was 16. And of course at that time it was because of a book known to all of you, but to me at that point it was not known. It was a book known as Bhagavad Gita. And I opened up the Bhagavad Gita because I wanted to know something about yoga. And yoga, they told me, is all about being peaceful. It's about meditation, being peaceful, being relaxed. But then when I opened up Bhagavad Gita, I found it was all about war. I read it was about people fighting, and they just couldn't get along. They couldn't get along. And I thought, what is this book? How you can have a book of peace which is based in a place of war? I couldn't understand. And then I became a devotee of Krishna, and I found that life is often like that. That when we are at our most needy, when we need God the most, when we are most troubled, and we call out to God, that's when He appears for us. You see? And sometimes it takes pain for us to go to the doctor, doesn't it? Anybody ever go to the doctor when they've got nothing wrong? You go to the doctor and you say, "Hello, doctor. Bonjour. Comment allez-vous?" And he says, "Oui. Eh? Alors? What's wrong?" And you say, "Oh, nothing's wrong. I just came to see you." No one would go to the doctor like that. The first question the doctor asks you is, "Where does it hurt?" That's always the doctor's first question. "What can I do for you?" And what he means by "what can I do for you" is, "Where does it hurt? Where are you hurting?" Sometimes doctors help us with, well, they always help us, try to help us with the pain of our body. But sometimes you go to see a doctor. I know in England, I don't believe that you get this problem here in Mauritius, but in England we have a big problem. We all go to the doctor for it. It's called depression. But il n'existe pas dans l'île de Maurice. Il existe. Eh, beaucoup de soleil, beaucoup de plage, beaucoup de... So depression is often caused by stress. Stress is caused... Anybody a civic engineer? Any engineers here? Any car mechanics? You get stress when something which is calculated to take a certain load can no longer take the load. And there's a great stress. Just like this microphone. It's calculated to take a certain load. It's meant for a certain purpose. I can use the microphone for speaking in, and somebody in the kitchen will be able to hear. But if I use this microphone as a spoon, then there will be stress. There will be rust, if it's stainless steel. But it won't be good. If I use this microphone as a hammer, then there will be real stress. You see? Why? Because it's a microphone. It's not a spoon. It's not a hammer. So I have to use it as a microphone. So sometimes we have our human body and we try to do so many things with it. But it can only tolerate so much. After that, there will be stress. And stress means that it is trying to break. So then when the body is so stressed, the mind is so stressed, then we get depression. And actually, the World Health Organization, big body, United Nations, has said that in this time in which we live, the biggest disease is not malaria, it's not HIV, what's the other one? Not polio. Polio's almost gone. Typhoid is still there, but it's curable. Not TB, but it's depression and mental problems. This is the biggest problem that the world is facing. And so, spiritual life is an antidote against the difficulty of depression. But just like when you go to the doctor, you have to know where it hurts. You have to know. And you have to be willing to go to the doctor. You know the doctor's biggest problem? With men in between the ages of 35 and 50. You know the biggest problem doctors have? Is that men, even if they hurt, they don't go to the doctor. Now you ladies, as soon as it starts hurting, you will go to the doctor, isn't it? But the men, they don't like to go to the doctor because it makes them look weak. And men, they always want to be strong. So a lot of men, they go to the doctor too late. And with depression, you cannot go to the doctor too late. You see? The doctor can only do something if you say, I have a problem. So, Srila Prabhupada also, he said, that you can only get help from God or the Guru when you say, hey Bhagavan, I have a problem. When you say I have a problem, when you admit you have a problem, that's the point at which you can get some help. So in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna does not start speaking until Arjuna says, Govinda, I have a problem. If, you know, people want me to fight, I have a real problem with that because these are all my friends, these are my relatives, I don't want to fight them. If we kill them, then how are we going to enjoy the kingdom? If we're fighting to win a kingdom and all my friends and family are gone, how can I enjoy anything at all? It's like, I am here in Mauritius and it is nice, but if my family were here, then I would be having a very nice time. I'm looking towards Giridhar here. If my wife was here, it would be nicer for me. You see, because I'm a married man. If my children were here, then I would be happier. So Arjuna is saying to Krishna, look, if I destroy all my family, if I win the battle, how can I enjoy everything? And if I lose, how can I enjoy anything? So either I win or I lose, I'm going to be unhappy. So the best thing I do is go home. Yeah, I just want to go home. If this battle takes place and all the husbands die, where there's no husbands, there's no protection for the wife. And the children will grow up pagal. So he says, Krishna karapanya dosha pahata svabhava shishaste ham shari mam tvam prapannam. Prapannam. Prapannam means, prappa means going forward. I'm going forward. Either I'm going forward to the doctor, that's prapannam. Why? Because the doctor, I understand he has more knowledge than me. Or I'm prapannam to the guru, because he has more knowledge than me. But either way, there's a problem that I need solving. You see? Anytime you need a problem that you can't solve, you go to someone who knows more about the problem than you do. And even if it's your own body, you don't even know much about your own body. I had a problem a few years ago. I had to have an operation in hospital in London. And something, they had to take out something. And I said, oh dear, you're going to take something away. My mother gave me that. He said, look, he said, you don't, before I told you, you didn't know that you had it. After it's gone, you won't know that it's gone. So why worry? I said, okay, doctor. And he was an initiated devotee. He's a urologist, which means bladder, kidney, like that, specialist. So anyway, so Arjuna is coming to Krishna. But you know what, immediately after Arjuna says, I'm now Shishasteham, I'm your disciple. Because they were friends for a very long time. Arjuna and Krishna were good friends. They used to laugh together. They used to ride horses together. They used to shoot arrows together. You see? Sometimes they used to look at girls together. They were good friends. They used to eat together. You know, wrestle together. And then one day, everything changed. And it changed because Arjuna realized, I can't go any further. Now I need some help. And Krishna, he's not only a friend, but he knows more about me than life. Somehow. I don't know how. You see, Arjuna maybe wasn't thinking that Krishna was Bhagavan. But he was thinking, Krishna always seems to know something more about me in life. So he said, Krishna, now I'm your disciple. You help me because I'm troubled. So then Krishna turns to him, and you know, immediately after Arjuna says, I am your disciple, you know what Arjuna then says? He says, I'm not going to fight. I'm your disciple, I'm not going to fight. You see? Immediately, I surrender, and then, but I'm not going to do what you tell me. Now, a lot of the time we don't notice that, you see, because immediately Krishna starts to speak, and he starts telling Arjuna about the soul and the body and these things that we know from Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita has become such a famous book because of Krishna's speaking this wonderful wisdom. But in the very beginning, Arjuna says, now I'm surrendered to you, I'm your disciple, right? Please instruct me. But I'm just going to tell you one thing, Govinda, I shall not fight. Okay? But Krishna then says, don't you start putting conditions. Terms and conditions do not apply here. Huh? Not, I will surrender to you, please see terms and conditions. No. You surrender to me, that's unconditional surrender. You surrender to me completely, that's prapannam, that's property. In the south of India, they say, if you want property to surrender to God, you have to give up property. If you give up your property, then you get prapati. You see? As long as you're holding on to something, you can't hold on to the feet of God. You see? As soon as you do this, then you get God. As long as you're doing this, one hand up to God. I surrender, please help me. Oh, let me tell you one thing though. I'm not going to fight. I know you want me to fight, but I'm not going to do it. Okay? So Krishna, I surrender to you, but let me tell you how I'm going to surrender to you. No. These are terms and conditions. Even Draupadi, she surrendered to the Lord. Draupadi is the most famous example. The Kauravas were taking her sari, and she was holding on like this, but at the same time, oh Krishna, oh Govinda, help me. But only when she did this, both hands, then Krishna came as the sari. Then Krishna. So how do we unconditionally surrender without terms and conditions? How do we do that? It's easy enough. It may take a lifetime, but we work on it very gradually. Prabhupada has said, just like drops of water, sometimes we see at the bottom of a waterfall, the drops of water can wear a hole away in solid rock. So water is very soft, stone is very hard. So Prabhupada said, the holy name of the Lord is as soft as his feet. Krishna's feet are very beautiful. They're just like soft lotus petals. Hare Krishna. And our heart is very hard, like stone. But the name of Krishna is so powerful. Drip, 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 drip. This is what we're doing when we're chanting on the beads. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Drip, 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 like this. And it works. It works. You see? My grandfather was in the British Army. And my grandfather had a big mustache, like this. Came all the way out here. And on the end of his mustache, he used to put wax. And he used to twist his big, big mustache like this. And he was the servant of Queen Victoria. And he was living in a place in India. He was living in India, in a place called Prayag, by the Ganga and the Jamna. You see? And he was the first member of my family to take Ganga Snan. So when I was only this big, he put me on his lap and he said, you will be a preacher, because he was also a preacher. When he left the army, he was a preacher. You will be a preacher. It took him a long time to get to be a preacher. He had to surrender. He was captured in South Africa. We English like fighting with people. We like going to other people's countries. It's true, isn't it? It is true. I can say it because I'm English. You can't say it. We like going to other people's countries and opening up shop. And we say, give us what you have, we'll sell it in England, and then we'll bring something from England and we'll sell it here. Simple. We don't want your land. We don't want your women. We don't want power. We just want trade. So the English did the same thing in India. And 250 years later, they were still there and they had all the land, all the power. How did they manage that? How did they manage that? Not every Indian knew that the British were in charge of India. When the British finally left India in 1947-48, there was one man in Madhya Pradesh, and they said to him, "We are free, we are free. India is an independent nation." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The British have gone." The man said, "I never even knew they were here." He had just been working on the same farm for all his life. He didn't know that first there was the Muslims, then there was the British. You see, he didn't know that. So, anyway, we went to South Africa also and put the British flag in and said, "This is ours. All of South Africa. Here we are. Union Jack. God save the Queen." Anyway, what happened was that my grandfather went there and they sailed by ship from Calcutta. They went from Calcutta all across the Indian Ocean, past Mauritius, past Madagascar, all the way to South Africa. And when they got there, it was Friday the 13th. And all the soldiers said, they're all Christians, of course. You see, and for Christian people, 13 is not unlucky for Hindus, is it? No, I didn't think so. I'm glad. Because my house number is number 13. And my daughter next year is getting married on the 13th in 2013. So my grandfather, when he got there, it was Friday the 13th, and all the soldiers said to the captain who was leading them into battle, they said, We don't want to get off the boat. Let's do it tomorrow. If it's tomorrow, that'll be easy. And they said, no, we have to go now. Let us go now. They said, it's very unlucky. He said, no, we're British. They were all captured. They were all captured 2 weeks later. And so my grandfather spent 118 days in captivity. But he was a cook. He could make a good sabji. And they asked him to come and cook for the officers because they didn't want to be poisoned by the South African people. You see. Anybody here from South Africa? I'm sorry if you are. So he went, and there was one young man. He was only in his 20s, and he wasn't an officer in the British Army. He was just a journalist from London. And his name was Churchill, Winston Churchill. But he used to sit and eat sabji that my grandfather cooked. And then he escaped through a hole in the hedge and onto a train. But when he got back to London, he told the newspapers how he escaped. And then when the people in South Africa found out how he escaped, So my grandfather was very unhappy about that, because then they couldn't escape. So when he was about 60, he got tuberculosis and he was dying. And as he was dying, he asked for the priest to come. And the priest said to my grandmother, he said, "I'm sorry, he's not going to make tonight. By the morning, he'll be gone." So he said the last prayers and then he left. And then my grandmother was still in the room, sitting by his bed, and he opened his eyes and he looked at the bottom of the bed and he said, He said, "You see those people at the bottom of the bed?" And she looked, and there was no one. He said, "You see those people at the bottom of the bed? There's some angels at the bottom of the bed. They want me to go with them. You tell them that I'm not going. Get rid of them now." He said, "I'm not going with them." So she took a duster made of feathers, and she went, shoo, 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 go away, go away. If only Yamaraj was so easy to get away. Shoo, go away, Yama. So then what happened? He made it. And in the morning, he went from being a man who did not believe in a life after this one to a man who believed that there is life after death. He went from a man who did not believe in heaven and hell to a man who believed very, very convinced that there was heaven and hell. He went from a man who used to drink and smoke and beat his wife and swear, use all bad language. He went from that to he gave up alcohol, smoking, cursing, beating his wife. He turned into a nice man, and he was such a changed man that he became a preacher. So then when I was 3 years old, he put me on his knee and said, "You become a preacher." Hare Krishna, grandfather, I'm here. But I don't think that he was expecting that I would be wearing the dhoti and the kurta of the natives of India. Sometimes, you know, it takes a great shock for us to surrender. And sometimes even when we have a great shock, we don't surrender. We don't do it. Next week, or the week after next, we'll be having a wonderful festival where we're celebrating Narasimha Bhagavan, the fourth incarnation of Vishnu. We say, Ugram Biram Mahavishnam Jwalantam Sarvatomukam Narasimham Bishanam Badram Mrityam Mrityam Namamiham Mrityam Mrityam Namamiham. I offer my Namamiham to Mrityam Mrityanam, the person who is the death of death. He is the greatest protector of the Vaishnavas. Why? Because this is how Krishna appears when he really, really, really wants to protect someone who's helpless. So if you feel helpless, if you feel in need of protection, Narasimha Bhagavan is someone that you can pray to. But you have to want, like going to the doctor or going to the guru, you have to want to do prapanam. You have to want to do prapati. Otherwise you won't even see him. You can't see him. He's invisible. This is the thing. That Prahlad, you all know the story. Prahlad was only a young boy, but because he wanted to see the Lord, because he wanted to see God everywhere, he could. If you want to see God everywhere, then you will see him everywhere, because he is everywhere. That's the reality. Now you just have to make sure that your reality is in tune with his reality. Just like there's a famous story, I tell the same story. There's a famous story of the very proud British captain of a ship, you see, and he was off the coast of Mauritius. You know the story? Changed it slightly since the other day. You know, the British are very proud. We're very proud, you see, because we're pink. See? They say, "Oh, you are a white man." I said, "No, we're not white. When we get as far down as Mauritius, we turn pink and sometimes red." So he was a very proud man, and he was a captain of a navy ship, and he was off the coast of Mauritius, and he saw another ship coming towards him, and he thought, "Who is this? Some fisherman." And it was the dead of night. It was the dead of night. You will come back, Giridhari. Thank you. I just want to know, see, if he leaves, then that means I'm off track. So he said, he saw a light off in the distance. And he said, "Oh, this is another ship." He said, "Send a signal saying, get out of my way. I'm a British ship." Okay. So then the light message came back. "No, you move. You have to move." So then he sent another message. He said, "I am a British warship." And the sign came back, "I am a lighthouse."
you move.
So he had, he'd seen what he wanted to see. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he saw what he wanted to see. You see? He could not see, he didn't want to see God, so he could not see him anywhere. And ultimately, even when Narasimha Bhagavan appeared in front of him, face to face, he still couldn't see God. Even though God stood right in front of him, he couldn't see. Couldn't see. You know, Dhritarashtra also had the same problem. He invited, well, he didn't invite Krishna, but Krishna came as a peacekeeper. And they'd laid some trap for Krishna. You know, they'd given Krishna a nice seat, but the seat wasn't, you know, wasn't so stable. So at that time, Krishna showed his Virat Rupa. And even Dhritarashtra, even though he was blind, he saw the Virat Rupa. But even though he saw the Virat Rupa, his attachment for his sons was such that he could not understand that this is Krishna, the Supreme Purusha. Couldn't understand. Even though Krishna was right in front of him. So Hiranyakashipu was a great demon. He even wanted to kill his son. So when he pointed to a pillar and he said, where is this God that you see everywhere? Where is this God? Huh? Is he there in this pillar? And Prahlad looked. And he saw Narasimha. He saw Vishnu. He said, yes, Father, he's there. He said, then I will kill him. So then he took his... He attacked. You see. Before anything else happened, the pillar broke open and out came this half-man, half-lion form. A form which had never been seen before in heaven or earth. But even though he was standing right in front of him, looking at God in the eye, he couldn't see him. He just thought, who is this strange creature? If you don't want to see God, you'll never see him. He'll fulfill all your desires. You don't want to see him, you'll never see him. If you do want to see him, then you'll see him all the time, because he's everywhere. But instead of doing this, holding on and surrendering, we have to do this. We have to surrender like that. For Gajendra, the elephant, it took many, many years. Gajendra was a crocodile. He had many wives. He was bathing in the lake filled with beautiful lotuses. It must have looked something like this, because around there was, just like you have here, these beautiful mountains. He also had the Trikuta mountains. It was a beautiful place, but in the water, the place where he thought that he was going to be safe, was a crocodile. The crocodile caught hold of him. Did he surrender to Vishnu first? No, he didn't. He tried to fight and fight and fight. Only when he realized that he was losing, when he was desperate, when he could do nothing else, when there was nobody else that would save him, then he turned to God. And then he made his appeal. And immediately, Ramanuja says that God was listening so intently to this prayer that he came so fast that Garuda was coming behind him. Normally Garuda is carrying the Lord everywhere he wants to go. But when Gajendra sent up this prayer, Lord Narayan came so fast that even Garuda was left behind. And Garuda is his Vahana. So he's very anxious to serve us, because there's a relationship of love with his devotees, and we are all his devotees. As soon as once you say, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, then he promises to give protection. Promises to give protection. You know the story of Vibhishan. You must know the story here, because India and Lanka is over that way. So Vibhishan was the brother of Ravan. And when the monkeys, when they first saw Vibhishan, they said, he's come to surrender, but how can he surrender? How can he surrender to Ram? He is the brother of the enemy. And they tried to convince Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan that, How can this person be surrendered to you because he's just cheated his brother? This is a person who's run away from his brother at a time of his brother's need. If you leave your brother at a time of need, how can you be anybody else's friend? Right? How can you be anybody else's friend? If your brother needs you and you leave him when he needs you most, and then you go and try and make friends with someone else, the first question is, why did you leave your brother when he needed you so much? So the monkeys, they said to Ram, they said, my dear Lord, how can you trust him? How can you trust him? So Lord Ram was telling a story. He told the story about a man who was running away from a tiger. And this man ran up a tree, and the tiger was underneath. And as the man was sitting on a tree, he looked next to him and there was a monkey. See? There was a monkey sitting next to him. So the tiger wanted to eat the man. So he said to the monkey, why don't you just push him off the tree? Push him off the tree and I'll eat him. You know, these human beings give you trouble all the time. The monkey said no. So then the man said to the tiger said to the man, he said, well, if I can't eat you, at least I can have the monkey. So why don't you push the monkey off the branch and I'll eat the monkey? So the man immediately pushed the monkey off the branch. The monkey fell down to the ground and then jumped away from the tiger and ran up the tree. And then the tiger said to the monkey, you see what you're dealing with there? You see how this man cheated you? You see how he was so, even though you did not push him off the branch at all, but he was so eager to push you off the branch. So now, will you push him off and let me have a feast on his flesh? And the monkey said, no. The tiger said, how is that possible? Because the monkey said, I have dharma. Even though he was not nice to me, even though he punished me, even though he had no care for me, still that does not mean that I have to repay him by punishing him. You see, he may have no dharma, but I have dharma. So Lord Ram told this story to the monkeys to help them understand that even a monkey must have dharma. You shouldn't punish Vibhishan. And then Lord Ram says the prayer that is everybody's favorite prayer, and in the south of India they say this prayer and I can't remember it. You see. But Lord Ram said in English, he said, as soon as a person says, just once, I surrender to you, please protect me. He said, I will always protect that person. I will always protect that person. Ram Sharan. Ram Sharan. But again, Vibhishan wanted to. Vibhishan made the effort. He came all the way from Lanka to India, and he made that effort. And in this, we see that it takes some effort. How do you say that in French? Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Effort. Take some effort. Effort est nécessaire. So some effort is required. It's not that we should try to be... Being comfortable and surrendering to God is not very good. Anyway, in South India, there was one great sadhu who was telling this story. His name was Ramanuja. Ramanuja. We have many in any Tamils here today? No. But you see many Tamil temples, don't you, in Mauritius? So Ramanuja, he is the saint, the eternal saint of the Vaishnava Tamils. And he was telling this story about Vibhishan's surrender. And he'd got as far as the monkey's complaints to Ram. And he noticed that from the back of the room, people were standing up and they were leaving. And he said, my friends, where are you going? And they said, well, we've just heard of Vibhishan's disqualifications. And we realize that we have the same disqualifications. Just as Vibhishan cannot become part of Ram's entourage
You see?
So we know that at the end of this life, we cannot rejoin Ram. We also have those disqualifications, so we're finding it difficult to carry on listening. So then Ramanujacharya said, no, don't worry. He said, I will be your guarantee. He said, at the lotus feet of Ram, I will take you there. He said, I accept your surrender on behalf of Ram. So that is why they're very, very grateful. And this is how to offer ourselves in devotion. We offer ourselves in devotion to the representative of God. So Hiranyakashipu, unfortunately, he had received several blessings, ashirwad. He had a blessing that he would never die during the day or the night, inside a house, outside a house, by any weapon, by man or beast. So many clauses, so many terms and conditions. But then what happened was Lord Nrisingadeva outwitted everyone. He was vanquished by Lord Narasimha, not inside a house, not outside a house, but on the... How do you call it in French? Oui, c'est ça. Not in the air, or on the ground, or in the sea, but on the lap. Not by any weapons, but by the nails. And not by man or any animal, but by combination, both the animal and the man. So if you don't want to surrender and you want to defy God, there's no way that you can think better than Hiranyakashipu. You'll always be outwitted. And God will always come ultimately as death. And death will come a lot quicker than you think. Death is always a surprise. It's always a surprise. Death will always come when you don't expect it. That's the unfortunate thing. You cannot prepare for it. One of my friends, who's a doctor, not the doctor that I first talked about, but he is, he always wanted to become initiated by Giriraj Maharaj, who I think comes here sometimes. He was thinking, yes, I'm going to get initiated by Giriraj Maharaj one day. One day. And this had gone on for about 20 years. And one day he left his house and he was coming to the Hare Krishna temple in London. He got to the train station, got on the train, traveled down on the train, got onto the station platform to catch the underground railway to go and see Radha Landanishwara, and heart gone. Khatam ho gaya. Finished. Nice man. But he'd always said that bhakti is something I'll do when I get old. But you never know. You don't know when that time will come. You see. You don't know. So it is always better to do it now. Like Gandhiji said, if you can do something good, do it today. If you can do something good today, do it now. Don't wait. So if surrendering to God is something good, we do it as soon as possible. Of course, that does not mean that we surrender simply one time and then everything is over. Actually, the process of bhakti, taking shelter, is something that is a daily occurrence. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Krishna talks mainly Upanishads. Upanishad, you will find there a lot of wisdom from Upanishad. And then in the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, we have the book known as the Uddhava Gita. Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. Uddhava Gita is 1200 verses. And it is the very same Krishna who's speaking. But he's speaking to another friend. And this time, Krishna is speaking not Upanishads, but he's speaking Pancharatra. Pancharatra is an ancient scripture going back to the time of the creation, which gives indications how to serve God. So in there you'll find descriptions of how to please God by your activities, your daily devotional activities. So in the Hare Krishna movement, we follow the Pancharatra. And Pancharatra says, for making very rapid progress in the business of surrender to God, we do five things. This is called Panchakala Kriya. Pancha, five. Kala, times. Kriya. So this is, the first one of these is known as Abhigamana. Abhigamana means to approach the Lord. Anything that you do to approach the Lord. So in the morning, we get up early. Or at least we try. Actually, getting up early has a lot to do with what time you go to sleep. You cannot get up early if you go to sleep late. Go to sleep late, you'll get up late. Go to sleep early, you get up early. Like that. And you cannot get up early if you eat late. I know sometimes in England we have a big Gujarati community, and sometimes they will eat 11 o'clock at night, sabji, rice, dal, chawal, chapati, puri, loglu, 11 o'clock at night, you see? And then you go to sleep like that, you'll dream all night, and in your dreams you'll be dancing with Hema Malini. And the ladies will be with one of the Khans. But Shah Rukh Khan or whatever it is. But these are all dreams. This is not real. But in the morning, because you've been dreaming so much, you don't feel rested. You still feel tired. If you feel tired in the morning, then you can't do dhyan. You can't do meditation. Even puja is difficult. So the first thing, In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that na chashnatasto yogosti na chaikantam anashnataha jagato svapna shilasya, that a yogi is someone who doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or doesn't sleep enough. He finds the middle way between these two extremities. But Prabhupada also said that yogi means don't eat at night. Don't eat at night. And the other thing that will disturb in the morning is onions and garlic. Not only is it there on your breath, but it is not good for meditation. There are three reasons why we don't eat different things. We don't eat meat because it involves killing. We don't eat eggs because it is impure. And we don't eat garlic because it disturbs meditation. If you in America, if you're learning how to fly a jumbo jet, if you want to learn how to fly a jumbo jet, you have to follow the rules. And one of the rules is you cannot eat garlic 72 hours before flying a jumbo jet. Did you know that? Because it lowers your reaction time. It lowers your reaction time. You can't respond. You can't respond. Eating meat is for violence, eating eggs is impure, and garlic is for disturbance to meditation. Otherwise, garlic is a vegetable, right? You don't have to commit any violence. But we always say meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic, like that. Anyway, the point here is that you have to be able to concentrate, and you have to be... And then we help ourselves by... Cleaning, tongue. That's why whenever you go to India, you hear this sound early in the morning. In England, the sound you hear is the cocks, they crow. But in India, the sound you hear is this is the sound of India early in the morning. So this is good. Ayurveda says you can do this. It's very good, very practical. Then, Tandapani Snan. Garampani Snan nahi hai. Tandapani Snan. Tanda. Here in Mauritius, you should have no problem with that. Taking a cold bath. And the cold bath will push the blood into the heart and into the brain, and you'll be able to do meditation. First thing in the morning. Not first thing in the morning, switch on TV. Watch Asta. Star TV. Or watch Swami Ramdev do yoga. Don't watch Swami Ramdev do yoga. You do yoga. So watch Swami Ramdev after. First you do yoga. He's already surrendered. I met Swami Ramdev 2 years ago. He came to the Hare Krishna temple for Janmashtami and he gave a pravachan. Then the year after he came to our school. We have a new school. You've heard all this before. We have a school, a Krishna school, Swami Ramdev camp, because our children there, they learn yoga and they learn Sanskriti and they learn Gita shloks and they learn Krishna bhajans, and some of them are English children, you see. So they all come there, and last 2 weeks ago the Queen came to the Hare Krishna school, and she sat down with Prince Philip, because this year our Maharani has been on the throne for 60 years. So she's doing what they call a Diamond Jubilee tour. She's going around to different towns and she's choosing different places to go and visit. So she wanted to come and see the very first Hindu school in England. Very first Hindu school in the kingdom of the United Kingdom. So she came and she sat down, not on the throne, but on a chair like this one, with her husband, Prince Philip, and the children all lined up. Children this side of the altar, children that side of the altar. And on the altar, Krishna Balaram. So the Queen is getting darshan of Krishna Balaram for 5 minutes. Very good for the Queen. God saves the Queen. So the children, they were all singing, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kora More. So they're singing like this. And the Queen said, oh, that's wonderful. Very nice. Thank you. So anyway, the point is that this is a government school, actually. The government has paid for the school. The British government has paid 12 million, not rupees, 12 million pounds, which is how many Mauritian rupees? Huh? 600 million. So that is a nice gift from the British government, no? You see, they were in India for such a long time, now we have to make them pay. So 600 million, it's payback time. To build a school with a mandir in the middle. Very nice. So the point is, morning is very important for you. But if morning is very important for you as a sacred time, then evening is very important as well. Before the sun rises, there is a period known as Brahma Muhurta. It is a golden period. It begins 1 hour and 36 minutes before the sun rises above the Indian Ocean. And it lasts for 48 minutes. If you meditate during that 48-minute period, your whole day will go nicely. Brahma Muhurta. So this is all Abhigamana. All Abhigamana coming. Greeting the Lord. Then comes Upadan. Upadan means collecting all the different ingredients with which to worship the Lord. So you have Tulsi. Please don't use any Tulsi products like Tulsi soap. They haven't been offered to Krishna. Do not use Tulsi toothpaste. It has not been offered to Krishna. We don't use Tulsi as medicine. We use Tulsi as an offering to the Lord. Tulsi is specially put here in this world so we can take Tulsi and offer to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Tulsi, flowers. Here in Mauritius, you just have the most amazing... In England, I can never find any flowers. We don't have any flowers. We have some grass and maybe some trees. But here you have beautiful tropical flowers. You see, it's like living in paradise. When I got off at the airport there, I saw a big sign. welcome to paradise. And I saw a beautiful display of tropical flowers with a waterfall as you come into the airport. What's it called? Ramgulam Airport. Yeah. So I went over and I touched them. They're all plastic. But anyway, you have real flowers here, beautiful flowers, different varieties. You're very lucky. So you can pick these flowers, as long as they're not in anybody else's garden, you pick them and you offer them to Krishna. Or you can grow them. You can plant flowers in your garden and you can grow them, very nice. Grow tulsi in the garden. So then agarbati and diwa, all these items. And then we offer them to the Lord. This is called ija. So upadan, ija. Next, abhigamana, upadan, ija. Next comes svadhyay. Svadhyay. That's not Pandurang Shastri, but svadhyay means, adhyaya means recitation of holy scriptures. Swa means my own, your own. Svadhyaya means to read shastra, scriptures, and to understand them. And a good portion of time each day should be used for doing that. Arjuna was a very busy man. He was really busy. He had to fight a battle. But still, he took 1 hour to read Bhagavad Gita. Well, he wasn't reading Bhagavad Gita, he was hearing Bhagavad Gita, but it was still an hour. Now, Arjuna could have said, Krishna, okay, enough. Santosh, enough. We've got to get on now, we've got to fight. And Krishna would have said, no, I've got something more to tell you. We're only up to the fourth chapter. And Arjuna, if he'd been a bit, no, I'm so busy. Krishna, I'm so busy today. You just drive the chariot, let me shoot the arrows. You know, I've heard enough now. You've been speaking for a long time. But he didn't. He let Krishna get to the end. So the end is 18 chapters. Uddhava, similarly, he just listened and listened. And for the Uddhava Gita, that's 1,200 verses. You see, that's almost double the Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita we hear about the process of surrender and Vedanta. You see. But in Uddhava Gita we hear about Panchkala Kriya. We hear about how to serve Krishna, how to build a temple, how to serve him with different items, etc. So the final item in Panchkala Kriya is yoga. Yoga means at the end of the day, you meditate and you think to yourself, did I serve Krishna today? Did I serve Krishna today? What did I do? Was I a kind person today? Was I nice to my brother, my sister, my parents, my children? Did I speak something that wasn't true today? Did I try to cheat someone out of money in my business? Okay. Answer, yes. But did I have a good day today? Did I come closer to Krishna today? And that's a very good meditation for the end of the day. And if you find that you didn't, then you just write that down. You keep a diary. We're already keeping an account of so many things that we do during the day. When you have your business, you count every item that you sell. Every item that you sell. If you run a shop, everything that you sell is counted. You need a receipt, okay? We may need an item of stock control. So every tiny thing that we do. Now, everything that you do for Krishna, Krishna has stock control. Everything, every small thing that you do for him, he keeps track. That's why at the end of the Isha Upanishad, there's this verse. Vayur anilam amritam matedam bashmantam shariram om krito smara kritam smara krito smara kritam smara. My dear Lord, now my life is coming to an end. Please remember all that I've done for you. Please remember all that I've done for you. Every little thing that I've done for you, please remember that. Now we shouldn't have to speak to Krishna like this, because Krishna says to Arjuna, look, many, many births you've had, and me too. I've incarnated many, many times, but you've reincarnated many, many times. You see, Krishna incarnates, but Arjuna reincarnates. You see. So then he says, I can remember all of them, but you can't. So Krishna remembers every deed, that you do, even with Draupadi. Krishna remembered the tiny piece of cloth that Draupadi gave him. You know, she wrapped this cloth around his finger. He remembered that from years and years and years and years ago. If an elephant can remember, an elephant can remember someone from 25 years ago. If a lion can remember, a very popular film on YouTube is The Lion Who Could Remember the Person Who Looked After Him when he was just a little cub. Yeah? And the person comes back to the zoo, and there's a big lion now. The big lion comes and hugs him. So if a lion can remember many, many years, if an elephant can remember many, many years, detailed memory of voices, actually. We had one devotee who used to call out to a particular elephant in India, and he hadn't been there for 15 years. He hadn't been to see the elephant. But as soon as he called out, the elephant actually came running. The elephant came running because she remembered this voice. Wonderful. So if even animals can remember so many things. I was with one, talking with one lady one time. Her name is Shakuntala Devi. And Shakuntala Devi, you know her? She can remember, if you give her 40 numbers, she will remember all in order. And if you give her another 40 numbers, she'll remember those in order. And then if you say to her, multiply the second number by the first number, she will give you the answer quicker than a computer. So brain power is amazing. So what do you speak of Krishna's memory power? Not only that he can remember everything that you've ever done for him, not just in this life, but in the life before this one, before this one, before this one, before this one. But he will give you the memories that you need in order to move forward in this life. Not only that, but he's doing that for all of us at the same time. Each and every single one of us here, and each and every devotee in all parts of the world, right at this moment. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was in New York. Okay? So all the devotees in the New York temple, all the devotees in the London temple, all the devotees all over Mauritius, Krishna is remembering everything they've done, one by one by one. It's our personal account. Okay? Our personal account. We have a bank manager. Okay? He keeps a personal account, him and his assistants. They know every penny that you've put in and every penny that they've taken out. Sometimes you really wish that they would forget. But they don't. See, everything's electronic. So Krishna is much more capable than this. He remembers everything. Everyone. So each of us have a seva bank account. A seva bank account. Now the nice thing is that Prabhupada has explained that by the side of Krishna stands Srimati Radharani. And when she sees someone come to the temple and do one small thing for Krishna, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada said, if she sees that you've just put in one screw in the wall, she will turn to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, just see this great devotee, what he's done for you in your temple. Please give him your mercy. So one small item of service is always remembered. What to speak about all the different times that you have chanted Krishna's name, all the different diwas that you've lit, all the different agarbati that you've offered, all the different bells that you've rung, all the different times you've bowed down. Krishna has seen every single thing. And he's much more interested in giving you the results than you may be in having the results. That's how generous Krishna is. That's why he's called Kripa Maya. So I always remember that when I remember my name. I'm not Kripa Maya. I'm Kripa Maya Das. One time at the manor, I was standing outside Prabhupada's room. I was the bodyguard, the Ganapati, the Gana. And someone came and he said, what is your name? I said, it is Kripa Maya. He said, no, it is Kripa Maya Das. always remember Das. Most important part of the name. So in this way we move on. We remember that Krishna remembers us. And in the Varaha Purana, we find a beautiful description that even if our body is unconscious, even if you're in a coma, even if your body is almost dead, your body is just like a log of wood. The Lord will force himself into your consciousness at the time of death. Or to speak of the devotee that he's very pleased with. So this gives us great hope. Gives us great hope. It's not a me saying this, it's not even Prabhupada saying this, but we find this in declared in Shastra. And ultimately everything goes back to Shastra. If you can find it in Shastra, you can believe it. If you can't, then don't. So this business of surrender is our business. This is our business. Sometimes you have to see what the commodity is in a business. Whether you're selling cars or coconuts. But actually Prabhupada's business is offering the opportunity for surrender. That's what these temples are all over the world. All over the world now we have these temples. Just giving people an opportunity to surrender. And so many people are coming. So many people are coming. You'd be surprised. Thousands and thousands of people in Russia. Thousands in America. Thousands in Europe. Thousands in London. Every year in London we have a big parade going down one of the main streets in the city. Big Rath Yatra. Three giant chariots. You do Rath Yatra here? Sure you do. Where do you do it?
Everywhere.
Very good. Very good. So it is a wonderful thing, and many, many people come forward. Every year we serve about 15,000 plates of prasad. Very nice plates of prasad. Halva, salad, sabji, puri, and shrikhand. And the English people, they love the shrikhand. Every year they come for the shrikhand. In Trafalgar Square, which is very, very close. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to give this as a service. And Prabhupada has done that just in our lifetime. I was just 17 when I came to the Hare Krishna temple for the very first time. 17. Now I am 55, getting on a bit. But in just my lifetime, I've seen Hare Krishna temples expand all over the world. Because it is real, people like it. For the first time, they hear something that they really needed to hear. And it really gives people a chance to come to know themselves better and come to know their relationship with God and to experience it for the first time. Sometimes they may not investigate the philosophy very much, but they love the singing, the dancing, the chanting. This is very attractive to people. You know, in India there's a festival of Rang Mela, Holi. And this Holi festival has been held now in America. And this year, we had 30,000 Christians. 30,000 Christians played Holi. All Mormons. You know Mormons? Do they have them in Mauritius? They come knocking on people's doors. Hello. Hi. But 30,000 young Christians, young people, played this game. And although they're Christians, when the person on stage said, "Now I want you to join with me, put your hands up in the air," he said, "Hare Krishna."
Hare Krishna.
That's what they said. And they just followed. They are Christians, but they're just going, "Hare Krishna." So we have Christians saying, "Hare Krishna." We have the Queen saying, "Ah, wonderful." This Krishna movement is not meant for Indians alone. It's not meant for just Mauritians. Although here in Mauritius, did you know you have the highest population of Krishna bhaktas in any country of the world outside India? Did you know that? Very special place. Very special place. Only 1.2 million people. And so many. These Hare Krishna Bhaktas have been very busy teaching and preaching all over the island for many years. Haribo. We should be very thankful to them. But you know, Prabhupada's movement is not such a... It's not really about us. It's about our children. And it's about their children as well. That's when we will start to see pure Krishna Bhakti. And then it will be really wonderful. But in order for our children's children to take this up, we have to take it up at home. Because when Krishna is in the home, then he's in the heart. And if you make a space in your home for Krishna, he will make a space for you in his home, Goloka. So we offer all of our namamiham to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda, and we bless the day that they were installed here, and we ask Srila Prabhupada to give us his blessing so that we may always, each day, from early in the morning, throughout the day, strive very hard to serve Krishna and do those things that are pleasing to him. Hare Krishna.